This particular seminar, although there will be notes that you'll take for future reference, we're going to be doing a whole lot more practicing. Yes, actual practicing. That's right. Yep. That's what we got going on here. So, actually, I think I want this back. 7:05. All right, so while we're waiting for potentially Nick to show up, hey, speak of the man. Woo! Wow. No more needing of delays here. It's good to have you. And look who else decided to show up. Brian, it's good to have you. Good to have you. Roads are clearing up. Weather's decent out there. Yes? It's very good. So, and then we also have Sarah with us. Thank you for hanging with us. It's awesome. At both Sarah's, yeah, after Sarah got done with her work, her hard work last week. Super hard work. That was a week ago. All right. So, for those of you who were here last week, you get to help everybody else with a recap. You know how much I enjoy doing those. And so, if you have your worksheets, that will help you out tremendously. It's kind of like a pop quiz, but it's open book. And so, I don't know how much easier to make it. Yeah. Nice. And look at this. It's a party. Wow. I had no expectations of anyone coming. So what we could do is pull this chair or this table. Pull this table in. So you can be closer to the action. Nice to see you, Mom. And Diane, good to have you guys. Thank you for coming. yeah. God's ways are not our ways. You know, I once tried to put God in a box, and I just couldn't fit him in there. So I kind of gave up. Actually, I just tried to get a bigger box, and sometimes old habits die hard. We still try to put God in the box, but he just doesn't fit very well. Okay, so, guys, we're going, has it started? Is it starting? Is it already going? All right, it's going. All right. All right, so we'll just go ahead and start now. So for those of you cutting and editing, this is the beginning. Welcome to part two of the seminar, Recovering the Lost Art of Listening. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you get to help all the newbies here figure out what in the world we talked about, get them all up to speed, so at least they are vaguely familiar with these concepts. Now, a subtitle to Recovering the Lost Art of Listening is How to Build Relationships. Not just relationships, lasting relationships, quality relationships. How to get them to last a lifetime, because we all have had experiences where we made some good friends only to lose them. And we look back and we wonder to ourselves, what went wrong? Well, I'm not claiming that every failed relationship could be salvaged through the art of listening, but I will say many of them, if not most of them, could have been. Really, the leading cause for divorce is a failure to communicate. They say it's money, but if two married people could communicate on their finances in a loving and understanding way, then money wouldn't be the issue. They talk about irreconcilable differences. Well, what is that? That's just another term for not listening to one another. So really, many, if not most, relationships could have been salvaged or taken to the next level of depth and intimacy if one or both of the parties knew how to listen. And so I talked about last week why relationships are so important. Why can't we just be a rock or an island? And I said, what? It is a song, yes. I did. But the answer for that first blank, what was that? Yes, we need what? Yes. In order to experience a balanced and healthy life, you need relationships. You can't just be a rock and an island and be able to be a healthy, balanced individual. It just doesn't happen. You become very awkward to social norms. Things happen in your psyche. It's just the way human beings are wired. We need relationships. But for those who have entered into the realm of faith in Christ, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, there is an additional importance to being able to develop lasting relationships. And what was that? I'm not going to answer the question. What was the other reason why relationships are so important, especially for believers? Sure, but number two says, because they're crucial for what? Yes. Thank you, guys. This is really not that hard. Friendships or relationships are crucial to be effective in the gospel and in discipleship. You know, and I love that verse that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians where he said, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Don't think for a minute that you could be in the center of God's will and simply leave gospel tracts in bathrooms. It's not going to work. Sorry, it's going to take, I know, I hate to disappoint. It's going to take relationships, building friendships, if you're ever going to be effective in sharing the gospel and in making disciples, which is what Jesus has left us here to do, to go therefore and make disciples. Now, we talked about what a healthy relationship looks like. And we realized that there are the three components of life, let's say, the three major relationships with relationships that you can have in your own life. One is with yourself, being able to commune with yourself. The other is with others, and the other is with God. In order for that to happen, there's got to be what between the three of those? Balance. A relationship with God is necessary in order to bring balance to our relationships with others and ourselves. And if you have a sheet, you see the picture of the level of the level. You move one direction, and guess what? The other two are affected as well. You know, you move one way, the other. There is no division there. God has set us up in such a way that our relationships with each other, with ourselves, and with God are all interconnected. And that's what I mentioned in that point number two, is that a healthy relationship with God requires what? Healthy relationships with other people. And we talked, does it require it? Can't I just have a good relationship with God and keep other people at a distance? You know, can't I just be familiar with conflict and always having drama in my life and still have my nice little perfect relationship with God over here in the corner? No. No. Jesus said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And then he said this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. If we love one another, we remain in Christ's love. There's balance, there's harmony, there's beauty, there's intimacy in your relationship with God as you are able to engage in healthy relationships with one another. We're just simply here establishing the foundation that having relationships, healthy friendships that are able to withstand the test of time and make it for a life are absolutely critical in your relationship with God, in your effectiveness in sharing the gospel, in your own well-being. It's got to be there. Well, then what makes it so difficult? Why is this so hard? And what has complicated, in one simple little word, what has complicated relationships? Sin. And it's ugly, and it's everywhere, and it's fibrous. And we talk about how we have our in our hearts, we have these different areas in our hearts. One is that's open, and we let everybody see it, and everybody knows about it. It's rather obvious. But then there's guarded areas that only a few friends know. There's hidden areas that you don't even know. And then there's the unknown area that no one knows except God. And there's these different levels in our hearts, different layers in our hearts. And this listening seminar that I took was called Equipping Ministries International, and they made a profound comment, at least to me at the time, because I never thought of it. And what they said was, when you are dealing with human beings, what you see is not all there is. And there are levels in the human heart, in your heart, that nobody knows about, not even that individual. Now, these hidden or guarded areas of our lives, these dark and difficult areas in our lives, create invisible what? Invisible what? Communication barriers. Don't be shy, guys. If you got the answer, just say it. They create invisible communication barriers. It is an amazing thing that I know many of you have experienced. You just maybe not have put it in words. That what exits your mouth is not always what enters another person's ear. That it somehow it goes through this medium here that changes things. It's almost like, you know, the phone game that you used to play as kids. And what you started with is not what you end with. And how did you just get that out of what I just said? And why did you react so strongly to such a innocent statement? And all of a sudden, sparks start flying and you're starting to run for the door. What happened? Well, it has to pass through these obstacles, these barriers that complicate communication. And that's why we need to learn how to break that down. We need to know how to make adjustments in our interaction, in our relationship, in our conversation, in our listening, making adjustments for those barriers, to compensate for them so that what they hear is what exited your mouth, or even more importantly, what exits their mouth is what enters your ear. And what that requires is what? In order to break down those barriers, it requires what? It requires grace. Just a simple word. You kind of wonder what is that word? Grace. Well, in this context of communication and building relationships, grace gets through. Grace invades a conversation and a relationship when we communicate with three things. What were those three words that we use that we're talking about? Communicating with what? Warmth, empathy, and respect. Warmth, empathy, and respect. And I'm going to break each of those words down. They each have great bearing in your relationships. We started with warmth. Tell me what warmth is. It's what? Communicating what? It's, yep, communicating caring love. Okay, how do you communicate caring love? Believe it or not, most of it is communicated through non-what? Non-verbals. In fact, 93% of your communication to another individual and theirs to you is through non-verbal means. And so when we talk about communicating caring love or warmth, we're talking about the nonverbals that you are sometimes unconsciously communicating to somebody else. And so this is where we talked about solar tea. Raise your hand if you just love solar tea. Oh, it's just awesome. Bring on the summer. I love solar tea. And people will love it when you communicate caring love through solar tea. S, this solar tea. Now we're talking about where each letter spells an aspect of caring warmth. So S of solar tea is what? Sensitive seeding. Sensitive seeding. That is where you are seeding, where you're sitting down. And we talked about what is the warmest angle to be sitting at when you are in a conversation. 45 degrees. What? Back to back. Not really, but good try. Sometimes, excuse me, in some situations that can actually be effective. But most of the time, a 45-degree angle. Couches do not communicate caring love. Now, you could probably work it out in that direction, but we're not going there. We're talking about having a platonic conversation with another individual. 45-degree angle is it. Believe it or not, all those human studies that have cost you billions have paid off. 45-degree angles. Think about it. Sometimes you'll even just find yourself automatically doing it. 90 degrees is too hostile, 45 degrees is the best. O stands for what? Open posture. That's where you're not folding your arms, you're not even crossing your legs, but you are maintaining an open posture to the other individual. Subconsciously, it communicates a message of warmth to that other person. L is what? Leaning forward. If you're leaning forward, open posture, 45 degrees, guess what? That is as comfortable as you can get. That other person, whether they're aware of it or not, are thinking, this guy really cares about what I'm talking about. It's just the way the human mind is wired. A is what? Appropriate eye contact. And what was that appropriate eye contact? Every 5 seconds. You will find yourself doing it instinctively. It's not like you need to start thinking. In fact, you might start thinking 5 seconds is way too long. You might start feeling uncomfortable if somebody, but just looking at somebody for 5 seconds or they at you. When that happens, that means the temperature of the conversation has gone from warm, which is what we're shooting for, to hot if you're staring at a person for more than 5 seconds. And you'll even find yourself wanting to look away. It's just a human behavior. And so appropriate eye contact. And then R is what? Relax. You know what an easy way to help relax you is an easy way to relax your body, even in a difficult conversation. What's a real easy way? What do you think it might be? Well, you could take a deep breath. That can help. I'm thinking of something different. No. Something different. What would I be thinking of?
Smiling.
Believe it or not, if you're in a difficult conversation and you seek to have a smile on your face, it will relax you. Now, use wisdom. Use wisdom. A person may interpret that nonverbal as demeaning. They might be thinking you're demeaning or patronizing them. Be careful. But generally speaking, keeping a smile on your face relaxes you. For T is what? Touching, appropriate touching. Now, we're talking side hugs or just, but you got to be careful here. But they say touching on the elbow, touching on the arm, like in the elbow to the wrist area, just a light, brief touch can oftentimes communicate caring warmth. E is environment. Being aware of what such things as what? Up above is the lighting, noise going on. We got an open door. We could have, sound pollution coming in. You got to be aware of your environment and how that is affecting communication at the time. And then A is what? Accommodating differences. As you get to know people, you might find that some of these solar T aspects don't work with that person. Don't just say, I must use solar T. No. Accommodate for that person's differences. If they are, if they're from a culture, like I think Charlie, closer culture, he wants to be close. He always wants to be close. I don't want to be close. He wants to be close. He always wants to be close. I accommodate for that difference. I want to communicate caring warmth to him, so I'll let him get within my private space and have that conversation. Okay, that's communicating warmth. It's the nonverbals of a relationship. And I think some of you guys tested it out this past week, right? It was your assignment. You want to share your little story about being in the principal's office? No, it was a guidance counselor. You want to share that? The guidance counselor, you were in there and you started thinking about. Yeah, it's great. Good job. Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard various conversations, usually with snickers, about the 45-degree angle thing. And, it's just fine. Go ahead, but have fun with it. But really, believe it or not, it works. It really does. And especially try to think of it when a conversation is getting sensitive, it's getting maybe even a little hot, little there's some difficult words being expressed. You can tell that the tension is rising. Wow. Employ these methods and it'll diffuse it and you're able to maintain conversation and communication. All right, let's get to what I call the meat and potatoes of this seminar. Sorry, bud. Empathy. This crazy little thing called empathy is, what is empathy? It's communicating accurate understanding. That's empathy. It's not necessarily feeling sorry for someone. That's sympathy. This is empathy. It's communicating accurate understanding. James 1:19, James writes, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He is saying you need to show empathy right there in that verse. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You see, empathy helps you. It helps test your understanding. Okay? It tests your understanding of what that other person just said. It also helps the other person that you're talking to feel understood. So it helps you test your own understanding. It also helps them feel understood. And then, believe it or not, it helps the other person to better understand themselves. Huh? Yeah, you'll find out what I mean by that. But believe it or not, you being able to actively listen and show empathy will help the other person understand themselves better. It's freaky. You'll find out what I mean. And then lastly, empathy helps encourage the other person to continue talking and explore at a deeper level. It will help them to continue to talk, continue to communicate, and explore at a deeper level. Yes. To wherever you're at. Yeah. So, go ahead. Kristen is going to demonstrate the 45-degree angle of warmth. That's 45 degree there. 90 degree is straight. It's straight on. It wouldn't be. And so, yeah, that's true. Right there, yeah. Yep, of that nature. Say it again? Yeah, I'm not currently teaching any grade. Okay, so back to empathy. So this is actually the words that you're using now. That's what we're talking about. And you need to discern what the talker, the person initiating in the relationship, wants. Knowing what to say in response, you got to figure out what they want. Are they just wanting some information? Where's the gas station? Well, then what should you say in response to that? Should you say, how does that make you feel? No, you give them the information. You give them the information. Or you refer them to somebody that they need. Let's say they need some help. They need action. You know, my tire is flat. You know, can you help me get it repaired? What do you do? What do you do about that? It's like, you say yes or no. It's a yes or no. They need action. You either are able to help them or you can't. Okay, what we're talking about is not the person just needs some directions. Or they need some help, some assistance with something in the kitchen. No, what the communication we're talking about here is that type of, I think the bulk of communication, where the person initiating, the seeker, if you will, is expressing, they're looking for some understanding, some involvement, some friendship, some emotional support, maybe even anger release. They're wanting to actually communicate. There's something on their heart and their mind that they're trying to relate to you, not because they want you to fix it, or not because they want you to tell them what you think about it or analyze it, but because they want communication. They want a conversation. They want a relationship. And that is really the bulk of communication. Is people hunger for relationship. So, how do you respond when somebody is initiating with that interest in mind? Reflective listening. Reflective listening shows the talker that you want to understand. Okay, this is the bulk of communication, and it's called reflective listening. Reflective listening, it tells the person who's initiated the conversation, who just made the comment, that you want to understand what they're talking about, what they're going through. A lot of people call it McDonald's listening. You know, you go through McDonald's and you drive up to their little window and they ask you, you know, can I have your order, please? And you give them your order. I want a couple, I won't go into this since Rex is hungry and I want to accommodate for his situation. But you tell them your order. Then what do? Do you want fries with that? They may, but then eventually they do what? They will repeat it back to you. It's like, have you ever thought about saying, it's like, that's what I just got done saying, you stupid fool. No, you're actually thankful because when they reflected back to you what you just ordered, when they repeat it, what does that tell you? They listened and they understood your order. If they didn't, you correct them. And then guess what they do? Then they reflect that whole thing back to you if they're doing their job right. They will again reflect it back to you. And it helps you know they got it right. They understood something as simple as making an order at McDonald's. And so that's why some people call this reflective listening technique McDonald's listening. Reflective listening involves tentatively reflecting the other person's thoughts and feelings. Okay, those are the three key ingredients to reflective listening. Tentatively reflecting the other person's thoughts and feelings. Okay? You want to be tentative about it because you're not sure that you heard it right. You realize now that there are all sorts of obstacles and barriers happening in between what exits out of their mouth and what has entered your ear. You're aware that you may not have understood them correctly because of all of these dynamics, some that you know about, most that you don't. But you are aware, I might not understand what this person is trying to communicate, so you are tentative when you reflect back to them the thought and the feeling they just shared with you. So you say attentive, and the thought is simply what the person is talking about. I mean, the thought is not hard. It's not rocket science. It's the thought. Sometimes, though, it can take some work to think about what are they talking about. And that's why it's also good to use attentive, because then they feel the freedom to correct you. So the thought is, what are they talking about? The feeling is how they feel about it. How do they feel about what they just shared with you? Best way to handle this is with an example. And here's the example. You're in a conversation with somebody and they make this comment. It really irritates me to have to pay so much in taxes. It's tax time. You know, we've got March now and this person is really feeling this irritation. It really irritates me to have to pay so much in taxes. They share this comment with you. And what do you do with that? You know? Well, there's the tax preparer people right down there. They didn't ask for information. You know? I could do your taxes for you. They didn't ask you to do that, and that would actually be called taking a monkey on your back, taking their problem and making it your own. No. This is where you reflectively listen. And so you first capture the feeling. What is their feeling? Irritation. Now, the more you use this technique, the more you'll be able to attach other words. The human language is awesome. We've got all sorts of words that mean almost the same thing. What other words could you use for irritation? Frustrated? Yeah. What else? Annoyed? Yeah. Upset? Angry? You bet. Very good. Very good. And that is true. Our language, the different words we have a different temperature to them. Some of them are pretty hot, angry, or just, well, let's think, I've got a whole list. And if I've got a list. And so if I look up the word irritated here, irritated, that irritated is a pretty, soft word. It's really not that bad, generally speaking. But it gets worse when you use the word annoyed or angry, disgusted, fuming, enraged, furious. Yeah, all of a sudden the temperature just got way high on it. But these are all words under a general heading of they're mad. Yeah, they're mad. But so here I've got these lists of different words that can be used. I know it's very, very nice. So that's their feeling. They're feeling irritated, upset, frustrated, whatever, annoyed. What is the thought? Paying taxes. That's simply the thought. Paying taxes. Okay? So what you do is you reflect back to them what they just said to you. You start off with a tentative, and you see this on your list, a sampling of starters, how to start your response with a tentative. You could use, I think the most common one is, it sounds like. That's a tentative word, and you begin to respond, it really irritates me that I have to pay so much in taxes. You start off with, wow, it sounds like. Or here's some other ones. I think I hear you saying. It seems like. Okay, these are tentatives. Are you saying? Here it's the response is in the form of a question. Are you saying? Or so you're feeling. Do you mean? Am I hearing you say? Okay, these are all tentatives to respond with, to start with. I typically use it sounds like. Or it seems like. Those are the ones that are just the way I converse. Sometimes, because of the course of the conversation, I may need something a little bit more wordy. Sometimes if it's obvious that the conversation is tense and I really want to slow the conversation down, I'll say something like, I think I hear you saying, and I then put the thought and the feeling together. That's the second step. Once you've got your tentative intro to your response, it sounds like, then you identify the thought. It sounds like paying taxes, or it sounds like paying so much in taxes. And then you attach the feeling. Really frustrates you. It sounds like paying so much in taxes really frustrates you. That's reflective listening. That was an example right there. It sounds like paying so much in taxes really bothers you. Now, if you're the person who just expressed how irritated paying so much in taxes is, how would that response make you feel? If somebody did that to you, how would that make you feel? Only if you took this seminar would you think that. Yeah. It just makes you feel good. Okay. This past week, I had several situations where I intentionally got to use this listening technique. When you use it enough, it can come almost habitually. This is just the way you carry on conversations. But I forget. I think it's because I can be sloppy. I can be lazy in conversations. It's just so much easier to respond with what's on my mind rather than really trying to understand what's on their mind. And so I can get just as sloppy and careless in my relationships as anybody else. But several things happened this past week where I got to even stop myself and do this. And one of them was in a very interesting situation where I simply asked the person, how are you doing? Yeah. And they told me. And it wasn't just fine. They said something like, my heart has really been heavy lately. Something like that. Now, how would you respond to that using attentive, using reflective listening? Yeah, and you had to use the word something because what's missing in his comment? A thought. There's no thought there. And so if somebody says something like that and all they express is the feeling, your first response needs to be finding out what it is that's bothering them. What has you so discouraged? And that's what I did. I asked him, what is causing this? And he had a few ideas, but he wasn't really sure. So I reflected back to him. It sounds like you're feeling pretty discouraged because of, you know, one of the, you know, this situation or that, because of this or that. And he goes, yeah, I think so. And then he began to share more. And I began to just reflect back to him. And I never said anything about how to fix it, how to make it all go away, how to, you know, be a better person in the future. Nothing. All I did was reflect back to him what he said with me. And by the time we were done, he said, I am feeling a lot better already. Yeah. I've had many other situations. That one was a gentleman. I had a situation where a brother was so mad, I thought he was going to clock me. I thought he was going to absolutely rip my head off, and that was going to be it. He was furious. And by the time he got done with his monologue, I had no idea exactly where thought and what feeling and where to go with that. And so I just prayed for a little bit of grace, and I just said, wow, it sounds like you're infuriated by whatever. I tried to pull together a few things. And he, with clenched teeth, said, that's right. And all of a sudden, he began to relax. And we began to have a conversation, and it brought healing to his soul. I had even a situation where a gal texted me, and she was discouraged. She began the conversation by asking me if I knew of any psychologists. That was the beginning of the conversation. So what is missing from that comment? A feeling. I mean, she mentioned that she needs a psychologist, and that was asking for information, but it implies something else, right? It implies that they feel a need to talk to somebody who can help them. And so I reflected back in the text. Are you saying that you don't need to see a psychologist? Well, yeah, I think so. It's like, well, what has been, you know, no, I didn't go right there. I didn't ask about it. It's like, actually, her response included the feeling. It had some feeling in it. So, and then the conversation just it was able to go from there. But even in texting land, this response of a tentative, a thought, and a feeling really has power. Sometimes when you don't do this, a conversation can go south real fast. Such was the case a week ago when a lady called the store and she was looking for her credit card. And we did not have it, so I answered that question. She was looking for information. And then she began to dialogue on other things that related, but I didn't respond with an appropriate degree of warmth. She felt like I was being, and she even said this, she said, "I don't appreciate your tone of voice." And again, I still thought she was just being facetious. Didn't think that she was being serious, that there was any real injury going on in the relationship. I didn't use any reflective listening. And before I knew it, she was so angry, yelling at me, saying she's never going to come to the store again, she's going to bring back the product that she bought, and she's never going to come here again. And the last word I got out, you know, is like, are you serious? And that was the end. And I just realized, wow, did I misread that conversation? She was probably very upset, maybe even frantic, at losing her credit card. But I didn't communicate warmth, nor did I show any empathy. And before I knew it, the conversation was in the tank. And it's like, wow, I need to be mindful of using reflective listening. So we have a few quick exercises here that I would like you guys to break down into some small groups. I will bring a paper over there for you guys. Yep, three is always good. Because one can talk, the other can listen, and the third can watch and enjoy the show. You have a couple there. You see, you have one or two. You have a couple there? You have one example. Yeah. You have two quick exercises. Go ahead and just, you know, break down into groups of three or whatever. Two is fine as well. Say those, communicate those, and maybe even one of your own design. Maybe if there's something that you're feeling and it's on your mind right now, you can go ahead and try it out. Say, hey, I've got something I'd like to share. I've really been frustrated with this one person or this class, or it's been real difficult for me to deal with. And just go ahead and share something you're going through and let the other person show some empathy, reflectively listen. So I'm going to give you guys some time, 10 minutes or so. So have fun with it. You're off. We get to do some reflective listening.
So how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Sounds like you're doing pretty good with things that are going on in your life.
I started cooking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And excuse me. Do you enjoy cooking? So you're saying it's pretty fun to cook. All right. That's cool. And what have you been cooking?
Cookies.
Man. And so do you enjoy cooking the cookies or eating the cookies more? Which one do you enjoy more? So, is it actually the cooking that you enjoy or the eating at the end?
Well, I guess putting all the ingredients together to make the cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You bet. So you get a real kick out of mixing the batter and pulling together a batch of cookies.
two batches so far.
Yeah, and that went well?
Well, the first one I cooked a few minutes overboard.
Mm-hmm.
But my second batch looks like it came out real well.
He even bagged the cookies. Wow, they feel warm.
I know.
Because it's on the image to your body, I think.
Well, I gave one to Bob.
Yeah?
You want one?
Nah, not right now, since I'll have to go up there and talk, yeah.
Later?
Sure. They look good. Let me try. I've been feeling very distracted because of the financial condition of the store lately.
What about the financial?
Not yet.
Not yet.
So you're saying.
Oh, so you're saying that you're feeling. upset about your financial.
Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. I wouldn't necessarily think upset. But that may be true, that I am upset. I'm kind of upset more about my lack of management of the finances of the store, such that I could have prevented this. So now you reflect back this new information.
No,
so it sounds like.
So it sounds like you need
Well, I might, but you just would say. So you sounds like, or so you're saying that it's your failure to manage the finances of the store. That's really upsetting you or bothering you. And I'd say, yeah, probably more than anything. And so that's how your simple reflective listening helped me identify that it's not just a short cash flow that's bothering me. It's actually my failure to manage the money, such that I could have prevented this cash flow problem. So that's how it is. And really, you'll quickly forget all of this if you don't use it. Somehow, you've got to force yourself to put the tentative and the thought and the feeling. And usually the tentative is one of two things. So you're saying, or it sounds like, or it seems to me that, you know, just pick one or two. You can't memorize them all. Just pick one or two. Sounds like, seems to me, so you're saying. And then the thought and the feeling. It doesn't matter what order they're in. The thought and then the feeling. Sounds like, mixing the ingredients of a batch of cookies is a fun thing for you to do. Yeah, it is. And that's it. It's not long, it's not heavy, it's just you feeling understood. It's me feeling understood. And not only do I feel understood, I feel like, whether I'm right or wrong, that you care about what I'm going through. I tell her, you know, that's how, you know, and it builds relationships. It simply works. So, whoops. And we'll give it just one more minute.
Smile.
Okay, but
hi. You know, I was just telling them. I had my heart attack. The doctor wanted me to stay at the college.
Mm-hmm.
So he lined me up.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to see him one day. I walked into the office. He was crying like a little baby.
Yeah.
Then I went over and put my arm on his shoulder. I forgot.
It sounds like he desired.
What's the problem? What's the matter? He says, well, my mother just died.
Wow.
And I took and I held him.
Yep.
And I said, get it all out. Get it all out.
Hmm.
You'll feel better.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, that's right.
But that's true.
Yeah.
Run across that situation. That's regardless of the person.
Mhm.
I had in my business a guy come in, pick up his motor. He takes the check out. He pulls out a check out of the checkbook and I don't like that. I write them up in jail.
It is, nice specs. So, are there any questions as you've been experimenting with this reflective listening technique? Are there any questions? Yes, Nina. There's no conversation happening there. Move on. Somebody else would be interested in talking to you. Yeah. Yep, just move on or just realize that this is not the time or the place to use reflective listening. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's true. In fact, in many respects, this is a kind of a situation where after you reflectively listen back to them, what they said, and they'll just say, yeah, that's right. There's nothing more that needs to be said there. You can continue the conversation if they would want to, but you don't have to. The goal had been reached. Communication happened. Understanding happened. And they felt like you cared for them. It's good enough. You don't need to dive deeper. You don't need to be a shrink about it. Nope, that was it. You reflect back to them. They agree. Yep, you heard me right. End of conversation. Now, if they do volunteer a little bit more, which is almost instinctive if you are willing, then you will volunteer a little bit more. Or you will clarify. If you reflect back, so it sounds like it really bothers you that you have to pay so much in taxes. And they will say, not only that, they acknowledge, just by saying that, they acknowledge that you understood them. Not only that, but I completely disagree with what the government's doing with my money. Okay, so now you're getting deeper to some irritations with the federal government and their handling of their budget or whatever. You could always do that if you want to start labeling people. Yep, the labeler, that was the adverse adversary. Yep, you can just label them. Ah, you're one of them. Yeah. Yes. Typically, you will feel uncomfortable and you won't know where to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll just have to, and there are sequels to this training about how to handle a situation where they've got a problem. You've connected with them, excuse me, and there's vulnerability, there's understanding, there's good communication happening, and now you want to be able to help address the need. You want to be able to, you know, help them get through the situation that they're in. Well, what do you do? Well, that's different. We're not talking about that here. May God give you the grace to figure that out until we have another seminar that tells you how you can do that in an appropriate way. But typically, if it gets too hot to handle, you refer them to somebody that you think could help. Refer them to, you know, Bob or myself or somebody older, somebody, a parent, refer them. It's like, you know, I really care about what you're going through. And I honestly think that you need to tell your mom about this or, you know, your dad or somebody. That's what you do. Did we have something over here? Okay, so it is a very powerful technique, one that you will not, rarely do people get it and use it consistently as a result of one little seminar. Really, if we were going to do this right, we would have 4, 5, 6 seminars and we would beat this to death until you start to do it automatically. I know. So just like you had an assignment to do solar tea in your relationships, this is your lifetime assignment. Reflectively listen. Piece together a tentative. It sounds like their thought and their feeling, or feeling and thought. It doesn't matter what order those two are in. And be able to respond when somebody shares something where they're seeking understanding, they're wanting some empathy, they're wanting some communication to happen. They want you to enter into their world a little bit. Try to be mindful, to reflectively listen. Think McDonald's listening, whatever helps you, and see what God does with that. See where it goes. I just want to finish up here with a quick run through of respect. How do you show respect? We talked about how grace in communication, in relationships, is warmth, empathy, and respect. What's respect? Respect is communicating worth. When you communicate worth to that other person, Peter wrote, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. And this fella the deepest human need is for respect. Okay. Showing respect helps others feel trusted and lets others know that you truly value them. Okay? So when you show them respect, it helps them feel trusted and it lets them know that you They sense that you value them when you when you show respect. Well, how do you do that? Well, respect. We'll break down the word. Each letter is an element of respect. R is resist using pat answers and manipulation. Resist using pat answers and manipulation. You know? Give me some examples of some pat answers. Pat answers. Okay, you got any examples of a pat answer?
Trust the Lord.
Trust the Lord, you know, yeah, you'll get over it. You'll be fine, whatever, you'll live, yeah. Yeah, it'll be better tomorrow, yeah, whatever, some little pat answer, some one-liner, you know, you know, here, have a drink, you'll feel better, you know. Something like that. Don't go there. Don't go there. E is exercise self-responsibility by owning your perceptions and feelings. Don't blame shift. That's what we're saying here. Exercise self-responsibility by owning your perceptions and feelings. It shows respect for the other person to not ever say, "You made me feel." Because believe it or not, they did not make you feel that way. You chose that all by yourself. People do not have the power to make you feel some way. They can't get inside your body and make your emotions do something. They can't make you. Now, they might say things that provoke you, but they can't make you. You choose that on your own. So, own your own perceptions and feelings. It'll communicate respect to that other person by saying, "When you did that, I felt hurt or disrespected or whatever." But don't say, "You made me feel." S, suspend critical judgments and conclusions about the other's feelings and motivations. Suspend critical judgments and conclusions. Ah, you're feeling that way because, you know, this, you know, whatever. You know, it's, you know, you just, you try to draw conclusions. You kind of try to diagnose their issue too rashly, and that does not show respect. P is practice the fruit of the Spirit. Really, if you can do this, you're set. Can somebody tell me what the fruit of the Spirit is? Oh my goodness. It's not in its correct order, so I don't even know. Well, faithfulness, yeah. I still think you missed one. Yeah. There you go. Darcy did good and was then corrected by Bob. But practicing the fruit of the Spirit, it's Galatians 5, 24, 22? Galatians 6? No. 5, 22. Anyway, fruit of the Spirit, it is an awesome list. If you can show that to people, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I still think I missed one. But that's huge. E of respect is extend yourself appropriately. Be honest about your personal, ethical, and moral limits. This is referring to that idea of taking a monkey on your back or trying to be the rescuer in a situation. It's not inserting yourself into a situation that you cannot genuinely handle, given your position in the relationship, your age, whatever, the nature of the relationship. So just be wise to not try to try to fix or respond to a situation more than is warranted, because that can be interpreted as disrespectful for that other person, because you're trying to, I don't know, fix it or whatever it may be. It's a difficult one to explain, but you can sometimes sense it when you're in it. C, consider confidentiality. Consider confidentiality. Avoid secrets, but maintain boundaries. The reason we say consider confidentiality is you don't want to promise somebody that you will not tell anybody else what they're going to tell you. You may have this happen in your life where somebody says, I've got something I want to share with you, but you need to promise not to tell anybody else. Don't do it, because they may share with you something that you then need to tell somebody else, and you're going to have to break trust. Rather say, remind them that they can trust you. Say, hey, I guarantee you that I will handle with great respect and with great concern whatever you want to share. But I can't promise you that I won't share it with anybody, because I may need to if you share something with me that's harmful to yourself, such as a suicidal feelings. And oftentimes, if they make that comment, there's oftentimes some suicidal tendencies going on there. You don't want to make a promise and then be tortured by it because you promised not to tell anybody about something that they shared with you, but you know you really should. So consider confidentiality. You want to treat whatever they share with utmost respect, utmost honor, utmost desire to protect, if you can, at all costs, keep it covered. Cover whatever they're going to share and keep it from other people. Do so, but don't promise it. And then T, take one another seriously. Take one another seriously. Avoid condescending, patronizing, or belittling attitudes. When somebody's trying to be serious with you, do them the courtesy. Show them the respect by being serious back. What they would talk about, how they talk about this in other situations is having responding emotion with emotion. Use the appropriate emotion to the person that they are showing to you. If they're being serious, you meet them there. If they're being fun and silly, you meet them there. You know? But show appropriate emotion to the person that's communicating with you. So take one another seriously. You don't want to do those other things. So there's a couple of other examples there at the end on if you have the sheets there on reflective listening. But I just wanted to introduce you guys to the whole respect thing, just because I think there's some key attitudes, some good concepts on how we interact with one another that can help salvage, maintain, grow, deepen relationships. It's by showing respect. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's a good golden rule. Any last questions or comments before I'll just wrap it up, since we're over time? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. There's more here than you can handle, I know, but pick a few things that might resonate with you and focus on them. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you didn't just love us and leave us. When you created us, you involved yourself in our world. And throughout the scriptures, we see you interacting with people in this way, this reflective listening. It's amazing how you'll ask a question when we already know you know the answer. But it's not just the answer you're interested in. It's the connection. Connecting with Adam and Eve, connecting with other people, and just helping them enter into a relationship with you. That's what you so desire intensely. You desire it still. And I pray, God, that we would show this proper warmth, empathy, and respect to one another. It will not only bless the relationships we have here on earth, it'll bless our relationship with you. Lead us there, guide us there, help us, God, to have the courage and the love to do these things and make it a part of our just our personality to show this type of warmth, empathy, and respect. I pray for it. Thank you, God, for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If somebody did not have a worksheet and would like one,